Now, from the studios of Fox Sports Knoxville, this is It's Optional with Trey Wallace and Brandon Johns. Look in my eyes,
Dobbs heaves it. They're bunched up in the end zone. It's tipped up. It's caught. It is caught. Juwan Jennings. Juwan Jennings.
Throws it. Fakes the spike. In the end zone. Touchdown.
Whoa. He has trouble with the snap. And the ball is free. It's picked up by Michigan State. Jalen Watts Jackson. And he scores. On the last play of the game. Unbelievable.
It's Optional Monday. It's Florida week. It's Florida hate week, I guess, for a lot of folks around here. It's Jeremy Pruitt, press conference, not giving a lot away, but he is excited for this weekend. I think people can stop downplaying the DeAndre Johnson thing. It's not a big deal. Special person in the studio. We're excited. New co-host of the show with me and Brandon. It's fun. I'm excited. Brings new flavor. Chance, what up, buddy?
What's up, Trey?
Man, it's good to have you in
good
here, man.
Good to see you. Good to see Brandon again. We talked about, you know, the day that I filled in for you last week, that we was having a little blind date, and, you know, it'd probably lead to more, and look at this.
Look at that. No, I'm excited, know? Man.
Oh, it's, yeah, great day to be here. Florida hate week, man.
Oh, God.
Florida hate week. This is, I mean, I know you've experienced Florida hate week, but now you're in the Mecca.
Yeah.
You're in East Tennessee.
Right.
It's nothing like it.
Well, it's something. I mean, when you have all your family, they talk about Florida hate week. And I'm like, God, you know what? I get used to it.
Yeah.
Man, it's big.
And it's huge. It's
7 o'clock kickoff. So ESPN went with 7 o'clock, which was smart. Don't throw them on ESPN2. I think
big move.
Yeah, the only other big game is Georgia Missouri.
I think most fans obviously were a little worried that it might be a noon game just because of how kind of both teams were playing. But no, ESPN knew what to do. Like you say, 7 o'clock primetime game underneath the lights, and not only that, huge. I know we'll probably get to talking about a huge recruiting spectacle.
No,
it will be underneath the lights, and the coaching staff and everybody will get to do everything they want to do, you know, during the day. So it helps out.
And you throw in, you got Texas A&M and Alabama. That's actually probably going to turn into a decent game, more so than what they had.
Oh yeah,
Saturday night in Oxford. Brandon, how's your weekend, buddy? Maryville was off. Did you do anything fun? You getting ready for your wedding this next week?
No, just working at the liquor store.
Anybody come by and take pictures?
They did not, thankfully. We were too busy. It's the weekend, you know. And people watched Tennessee play against UTEP, so lots of drinking.
Was there a lot of alcohol consumed?
After the game.
Oh, after
So
the
I
game.
Think that says a little bit more about how bad we played. Or the fact they started at noon.
Yeah.
So not a lot of people wanting to kick off their drinking at 10 a.m.
I get it. And I want y'all's opinion. Chance, I mean, when you look at the game Saturday.
Yep.
With you know, being there, it was, oh God, that was horrible. That game was just so bad.
Yes.
But Tennessee, I think the biggest thing Tennessee is seeming to do is that they're reading their RPOs, so they're able to get the run off the corners.
I think, you know, the biggest thing to take away from it that I thought, yes, it was a tough game to watch. Like you said, I'm sure it was a lot tougher being there. Even watching the broadcast at home, it was tough. RPOs, great. I mean, the quarterback, Jared Garantano, has looked pretty good. Not the, you know, biggest opponents in the last 2 weeks, but he's looked commanding of the offense. And I thought, I mean, obviously the running game is looking great outside of a fumble by the Bull. But
yeah, no kidding.
Yeah, but what you're saying, yeah, it's tough because they do look, you know, looking okay, but the offense got to be a lot better. Got to be a lot better going into this weekend.
Well, Brandon, we talked about it. It's like they've got to be able to open up the field.
Yes.
And like Jennings, he had a crossing pattern touchdown, but it wasn't anything spectacular.
No, it wasn't, because it was one of those, he gets the pass and good block from the receiver, and he just pretty much walked it in. So it wasn't anything that you can take so much. Got to get playmakers the ball even a little bit more. But yeah, they got to open it up. It seems so vanilla right now, just basic. Like, and hopefully that's what they were doing just leading up to Florida. Then they're going to open it up and, you know, surprise a lot of people. But so far, I mean, it's looked elementary.
I was told that you've seen probably 50% of the playbook, and I think that's about right. Like, they haven't tried the play action too much. I mean, they ran a little bit of it, but they haven't They have to roll it out where Jarrett's getting outside the pocket and trying to throw as well. And I think that's going to be key when it comes to the Florida game. Because Florida, I went back and watched the Colorado State game, and that was miserable. But I just fast-forwarded through every play. Florida's problem is they don't have an offensive line. They're technically their second-leading rusher now is Felipe Franks.
Uh-huh.
And when you're going into a game like this, when your defensive line is also not getting any push, which is what is going on with Florida, Tennessee has the opportunity. Like I didn't get the whole that Florida opening up as a six-point favorite. Like, I didn't understand. How the hell are you going to open up as a touchdown favorite
coming into Knoxville?
You're just as crappy as what Tennessee's been putting on the field.
I think a lot of that is, I mean, people are looking at that secondary and you know how they fared in the first game, and just they're facing, you know, perspective on what they think when they're going to face a little bit better talent, because anybody tell you secondary has looked pretty bad. I mean, when they come down, and I mean, Pruitt even talked a little bit about it at his press conference today. I know you were there. He said something about, you know, when we come down in press coverage, we're still letting guys get free. It's more or less that they looked better this past weekend because they missed some of those guys who were open.
Right.
So I think that's a lot that people are basing off of. And, you know, new coach, how bad Tennessee did last year. Everything's going off of last year, too. You have to remember that.
I get it.
0-8 in the SEC. That's where all the perspective is coming from, why nobody has any faith.
I was going to say, too, with the line opening at -6, they set that line so they can get even bets
did
on either
get,
side.
Did you get in
they
on that, Brandon,
it because
when
they,
it came out?
No. No, I have no faith in Tennessee.
Yeah, you're right. Yeah.
Literally none.
See,
in that offensive line, none.
That's what I'm talking about. Like, how the hell can you have faith in that Florida's going to come in and take care of business when they've struggled? They haven't looked good.
It's not that I have no faith in, or like have faith in Florida. I have zero in Florida, and I have negative in Tennessee.
Oh my God,
dang!
So
that's depressing.
Yeah,
we have done nothing.
Might as well throw an Alabama shirt on.
Literally nothing coaching wise that makes me think we're going to out scheme anyone. Yeah, if we're bigger and faster than you, we'll run it right at you down your throat. But we're not going to out scheme you on anything. And the offensive line can't block. That's my takeaways from it so far.
Well, that's just depressed. Thanks, man.
I know.
You did kind of just put a damper on the show really quickly out the gate.
He's always like that. Hey. I don't
depressing.
I don't pay
Brandon.
Attention to like that.
Heavy downer over there.
The truth hurts.
Medicine doesn't
taste good.
That's one perspective. I look at it as Tennessee has figured out what they're going to do with the quarterback spot. Jared Garantano can throw the ball downfield. Now it's all about opening up more. They've got to get – look, I talked to some folks last night. They understand that Juwan Jennings is probably going to get 8 to 10 touches on Saturday, a lot more than what he was getting over the last 3 weeks. And when that happens, you have the ability to open up the field. And I think that's the key thing when it comes to beating Florida, is being able to take care of their secondary.
Yeah, I actually think that line will probably drop. I mean, it'll be as close to a pick 'em as possible, maybe 3.5 by the time the game rolls around for Florida. But yeah, it's like you say, Jared Garantano, we've seen that he is able to throw. It looks like that he just wasn't coached up. Everything that I thought about him going into the season, I said, he didn't show me anything, so I don't know why I'm supposed to believe that he will now. But it looks like that he is a pretty good quarterback and can get it done if he has. Like I said, they do need the blocking. Offensive line's got to get better. Secondary's got to get better. But they're going to try to kill Florida on this, I think. And they're going to try to run them, you know, time of possession. And they know their strengths. Tennessee knows what they can do. You know, Jeremy Pruitt's not going to have them coming out. You know, they're going to play within themselves. So right. it's going to be probably a drag out game where a lot of running and, you know, just pound it the entire game. A lot of play action, try to catch them off guard, but it's not going to do too much to put Garantano in a bad position. I'd be more worried that the nerves of the players, because it's Florida. That's what scares me. Everybody gets so hyped. Juwan Jennings is a guy who's probably going to do very well in the game because he always gets up for this Florida game.
Right.
And he enjoys, you know, facing off against the Gators, obviously hates them. So I worry more about the players' nerves and them not looking too far ahead and just playing football. Just go out there and play football.
Well, I mean, they've got to get – here's the thing as we reset. They've got to get the win Saturday versus Florida if they're going to make a bowl game.
Absolutely.
If they don't win Saturday, you're heading into the end of September with Georgia, bye week, Auburn, Alabama, South Carolina, and Missouri. So if you don't get the 3-1 now, it's going to be tough to find those four wins down the stretch. So I think it's huge for them coming into this weekend to understand they've got to get the win when it comes to, look, there's so much more riding on this game than a lot leading into it. There's recruiting there, and people say, well, one game doesn't change people's mind. Well, let me tell you something. With everybody that's coming on campus this weekend, you need to win. And also, the fan factor in this, there is still tickets for sale, guys. So a lot of people have been hitting me up and asking how to get tickets. Like, if you should you go through StubHub and pay $175 or $200? No. If you want to have if you want to get into the game, go to allvols.com or uttix.com. The university still has tickets for sale. And it's because, as Brandon and I pointed it out a month and a half ago, Florida sent back around 3,100 tickets. Like, they get an allotment, I think it was around 6,300 for this game. Florida sent back around 3,100 tickets. They sent back half their allotment. So that's where all these tickets are located. Like, if you go to UT Tix, because, you know, Brandon saw it, they're up in section HH or GG, and they're three rows from the top. So if you want to get in, that's where you'll get tickets. Now, unfortunately, Brandon, would you pay $125 to go sit in the upper deck?
No. That's like what I was telling you earlier. Like, these tickets are where if it starts raining, you'll be the first one to know. And I'm not going to pay $120 when I can sit at home for free and have a great view of the game on my television.
Well, okay.
I'm going to go, but I'm saying I want it personally play. I want it personally pay that much money to do it. I got tickets for free. Like, I'm not going to buy those tickets.
Yeah, but you have a wedding.
Not this weekend.
Oh, it's like, not
it's like
this
3 weekend? Weeks from now.
Oh, it's 3 weeks from now.
I'll be ready by that time.
Yeah. Okay. How are you going to this game if you got a wedding? I was so confused there.
Yeah, but I was like, okay, cool. You'll be at the game. That's awesome. They'll be out at Leaderboard. I was just told for like 3 hours they'll be out there. So they'll have Cody McClure, Brandon Orrick, look, the whole crew is going to come by and hang out at Leaderboard. And then Friday night, let's not forget, Friday night, very cool event going on at World's Fair Park. The whole Fox Sports Knoxville crew is going to be there. It's called Pandemonium Reigns, and we're going to be watching the 98 Florida-Tennessee matchup that ended in overtime, spoiler alert, with Tennessee winning. That's going to be Friday night. They're going to have food trucks. They're going to have beer. We're going to watch the game on a three-story projection screen. I really don't know how the hell they're going to do that. Probably like an inflatable projection screen. That's all I can think of. But it's going to be very cool. And donations are accepted. Come out and hang out with us Friday night. God, it's going to be so many people there. It's going to be a lot of fun.
Want to get there quick, get you a good spot.
Yeah, and the night before the Florida game, it's like, oh my,
it's awesome, man.
God, beer trucks involved and so much fun. I'm sure there'll be a lot of volunteer vodka out there with John Reed.
No doubt.
Yeah, so look, the It's Optional crew will be out there until everybody else. So y'all come hang out with us. It'll be a lot of fun. Brandon, are we going to the lines, phone lines? You have to turn your mic on. You know this.
No, you got him flustered.
I love him. No, it's all good. I love him.
I'm not flustered.
He's never
you want to go to the mics? I said yes. Let's go to the phone lines.
He said the
go
mics.
To the mic. Let's go to the phone lines. What we got? We just have a caller. What's up?
Hey, what's afternoon, fellas?
Just living the dream.
All right, good stuff. Yeah, you know, I think after the West Virginia game, we just realized that this is a whole bigger rehab project than anybody thought. I mean, it's kind of like Chance here. You know, we're having to rehab him and clean him up from the stench of working along those $2 for so long on the afternoon show.
I knew this was my guy, Wes in Franklin.
Yeah, what do you say, Chance?
Oh, not much, Wes. Yeah, man, that is what it is. It's a big rehab for the program right now. I think fans are starting to come to terms with
it. Yeah, they are.
Yeah, but the problem is twofold. Okay, so while, you know, I think a lot of us thought because of the star ratings that there was a lot more talent there than it is, what we've come to learn is that Butch Jones is not only a poor developer of talent, he's a poor evaluator of talent. So, I mean, he may have hit on a few players like, you know, Shai Tuttle, Dobbs, you know, Jalen Hurd, but, you know, the really good ones besides, you know, a select few like Burnett, left the program and are doing, you know, doing good things elsewhere, like Vic Wharton, like Preston Williams. And now what we're left with is not only, you know, all these players that were just kind of miscalculations on this coaching staff, but while we've, you know, hit bust on all these 4 and 5 stars, you've got Kentucky, you've got Vanderbilt that are developing the hell out of 2 and 3 stars. That now, you know, we're not going to be favored in a SEC game this year, I don't think. Do you guys?
No, okay, and I go back and look at your statement, and look, it's some of it I agree with, okay, but some of it also is these players just haven't lived up to their billing. Like, player development, that's fine, and I understand that, and I think that was a big problem under Butch Jones, but some of these guys just, they just, I don't know how to say it, it's not that they don't care, it's just they haven't lived up to what they were hyped to be. Jonathan Kongbo.
That was my point.
Well, no.
That's my point. Kongbo, Drew Richmond, what's the guy in the backfield? Nigel Warrior?
Yeah, but can you blame Butch Jones for that? I know, I'm talking about development side, yes. Okay, talking about coaching, bringing him up. But technically, just for recruiting him and bringing him in, you can't blame Butch Jones for that. These guys just haven't put in the work to become better, in a sense.
Well, maybe he should have seen something, you know, before he brought him in, that maybe the work ethic was
not there.
I mean, you could go on and on. Look at the, you know, Dontavious Blair, all these, you know, JUCO transfers that he's just swung and missed on. He's, you know, I think it's a combination. Yes, overridingly, the main thing is that he's just a god-awful poor developer of talent. He's a carnival huckster. I just don't think he's a good evaluator of talent either. I'll hang up and listen. Great show, guys.
Thanks, brother.
Yeah, I agree with both of you somewhat. I do agree with Wes that more is on development, because things that early on right now, things that I didn't see from guys like Baylen Buchanan and some of the other guys on the offensive line, you know, the running backs and Garantano specifically as well. Garantano, you're seeing that, yeah, these guys can do this if they're coached up to their abilities. But I do believe, like, you can't get mad at a coach for going after the guys who did extremely well, highly touted in high school, and then you are right, some of these guys have gotten to college and they haven't put in the work as much as they should. Tyler Byrd, I thought that for sure he'd be back on the defensive side of the ball once Jeremy Pruitt got back, but, you know, he's barely in there too, so that's somebody who's probably not putting as much as work, because Pruitt would notice that. I think Pruitt's a better developer than Butch already, I think that.
Yeah.
But, I mean, you are right. You can't get mad at a coach for taking a chance on these guys and them still not living up to their, you know,
I agree, and I think that what triggered me with Tyler Byrd was that catch he made against Texas A&M late in the fourth quarter. I was like, oh, snap, Tennessee might have themselves a slot receiver here. And it's kind of, it just hasn't turned into anything, but that's something Tennessee's going to build on. Huh. Brandon's throwing out some good, I guess, are we still on the 80s? Is that what we're going with? We are, aren't we?
Absolutely.
Let's get out of here. On the other side, we'll talk more. Urban Meyer's in the news today. Just seemed to can't shut his mouth. We'll talk about that and more. Dan Harrelson coming up at 1:30. It's Optional, Fox Sports Knoxville. Go to the breaking news desk of It's Optional. I don't think we have a break. There it is. Brandon, some breaking news you have for us?
Florida running back Malik Davis, broken foot. Will not be playing against the Vols.
Whoa.
And probably not for the foreseeable future, I imagine.
Indefinitely.
Yeah. Which alters their game plan ever so slightly, as I think he has 4 carries on the season.
And he's one of their best running backs.
And he's not used.
I know.
So he's like Juwan Jennings. If Juwan Jennings got hurt, then we'd be like, oh, man, that's a whole 3-4 receptions we're missing out on. Good that's player, but he's not used. So at what point does that matter?
That's big news. That's Chance, I don't know. What do you think?
I mean, it's That's huge. Like you say, but he hasn't been getting used much, yeah. so that's one thing. But you never know. Like, maybe he hasn't been getting used much many games, and they were going to try to insert him into this game plan and, you know, hit Tennessee with more backs and a stable of backs. I mean, that sucks for Florida. So now, good for us. Anytime the opposing team loses some depth, I mean, I hated that the kid got hurt, but, you know, carry on.
Well, they got Scarlett now, and they've got P. Ryan. And they got Damian Pierce. I get that. But, I mean, the big trio was Malik Davis, Jordan Scarlett, LaMichael P. Ryan. So, with them out now, I mean, with one of them, Malik Davis out now, that, I don't want to say it throws a wrinkle, but he was a big-time downfield threat to them. I think Damian Pierce, though, is going to see a lot more touches as the third-string running back. So, interesting news coming out of – actually surprised they announced that today. I would have thought they would have held on to that till maybe
– yeah, try to keep it in the bag a little bit.
Saturday.
Till you actually have to put it on the injury report. Yeah.
So, there's your news out of Gainesville. He's holding his press conference right now. No real injury news coming out about Tennessee on Saturday. I was told they got through the game pretty darn healthy. Kirkland got a little shoulder dinger, but he's fine. He'll be back, ready to go this week. Everybody seems to be getting back in the groove. Chance Hall, I was told, he's getting back in there. They weren't going to risk anything dumb happening this weekend. So, look for him to be rotated in. And especially if they need be Marcus Tatum for Tennessee. So, should be interesting. But shifting away just for a second from Tennessee, Chance, Urban Meyer, the guy releases a statement. Well, let me rephrase this. He releases an interview. Tom Rinaldi does an interview with him yesterday. Mm-hmm. Then releases a statement this morning at around 10:30. Mm-hmm. And then holds a press conference at Ohio State. And it's his weekly coach's press conference. Yeah. At 11:45, the guy didn't know when to shut up.
Nah, he had about an hour press conference today where he pretty much answered.
It was like he was on the stand.
Yeah, he answered anything that, I mean, I'll give him credit for that. Not going to give Urban a lot of credit for anything, but he did get up there, take all the questions. He took the heat. But this is something he should have done in the first place. You know, outside of the Big Ten media days, when that happened, he should have immediately after that held this press conference where he just takes it all, you know, takes everything from all the media and gets answered all the tough questions. But yeah, I mean, it seems like he can't shut up, and he's still not in a position where he's going to admit fault. Still,
right?
He's still kind of, you know, beating around the bush. He's accepting some of the blame, but he's still kind of deflecting. I know there was a quote from Nicole Auerbach, who's talented.
Great writer for the AP. Yeah, Big Ten Network she works for, too.
Exactly. And she had said that he equated Courtney Smith and Zach Smith's problems to other couples' marriage issues.
And then he comes out and says,
but that's pretty much what
we
said.
Me and Brandon had a lot of fun with this when it came out. But he comes out and says today that, and Brandon made a joke, and I wish I could remember what it was, but he said that a lot of people, he didn't delete any text messages.
Oh,
and
yeah.
That a lot That's of a people one. Have access to his phone.
Mm-hmm.
Here's two things. Urban Meyer is walking around with three phones.
Yep.
Technically. He's got his personal phone. He's got his school-issued phone. And then he's got his phone that he does the shady stuff on.
Mm-hmm.
All coaches have them.
They all have burners.
That's why John Curry had three phones. And he's an athletic director. All coaches have burners, regulars, and then personal.
Oh, yeah.
You can't tell me. Look, SIDs can get a hold of phones. Guys that tweet stuff out get a hold of phones. I get that. But you can't tell me that man didn't go to his daughter or ask his daughter. And he already did. He asked someone part of the staff, hey, how do I go back to the settings and delete, you know, try to get rid of messages?
Oh, yeah.
It blows me away with some of the crap that comes out of his mouth and excuses when it comes to this event. And he's talking like he doesn't quite still want to give anything towards Courtney Smith, which is sad.
Old man continuing to use the I don't even know how to use this phone excuse.
Right.
When they get caught up in a scandal. I don't know how to tweet. I don't even know how to delete a message. I don't even know. Like, come on, dude. Like, they gave the they made the rule to where you can tweet text recruits, like, you know, a certain amount of time. Like, you telling me he doesn't know how to text? Get the hell out of here.
I know. No, I agree completely. So Urban Meyer running in his mess today. Seems about right. We'll probably talk about this a lot more in the second hour as he takes the practice field. He's been on the practice field for 3 weeks, but technically as the head coach now again. We'll talk about that more probably in the second hour. But up next from VolsWire.com, we've got Dan Harrelson coming on with us. Let's talk Florida, Tennessee. Big week. It's going to be a big discussion on every show this week. So I'm excited. Let's talk about it next on It's Optional, Fox Sports Knoxville. DJ BJ back there. Bringing in my man Dan Harrelson from VolsWire.com. Dan, good afternoon to you, buddy. Look, are you recovering from your fantasy football weekend?
Actually, I don't know if you noticed. After two defeats in the first 2 weeks, kind of made some roster adjustments. Got the first W, so I'm ready for week six when I face off against you.
Okay, that's good. I was just checking. It just seems like I'm just bulldozing through everyone here. So, and beating them by, you know, 60 points per game, it seems like. So, and I guess that helps when I have Heisman Trophy contender Drew Locke on my roster.
Well, we'll check in a couple weeks, see where you're at, see if you got that first L by then.
Okay, well, let's check in because we know there's a few L's probably coming Tennessee's way over the next 4 to 5 weeks. But I want to talk about this weekend, man, and coming off Saturday where we both saw that there were gaps in Tennessee's offense, but I think one thing that they did do well was they were blocking on the perimeter when it comes to wide receivers. And I had a chance to ask Coach Pruitt about this today, and he thought his guys were playing really well. Coach Johnson was really getting them organized when it comes to that. What's the biggest takeaway that you have when it comes to what the running backs and the quarterbacks did on Saturday?
Yeah, I thought Garantano, I think he played pretty well. I mean, he's got the stats. Once again, we all know it's not all about the stats, but he's not turning the ball over, and that's a plus. And he's definitely a little bit more engaged on the sidelines. Noticed a little bit about that. He's becoming a little bit more vocal, so that's good to see. The ground game, I think it's on par with Florida right now. I think Florida's got 555 rushing yards on 97 attempts right now through three games. Tennessee's got 664 on 132. So I really see the ground game about the same, probably an edge to Tennessee there. And offensive line play, I just think it's a little bit overblown. Some people criticizing the line play up front for Tennessee. They've given up five sacks in the first three games, and Florida's given up four. So I really think it's going to come down to who has the better quarterback play, who can extend the field a little bit with the 30-plus shots downfield. And really, Tennessee and Florida are kind of even on that, too. So I really think that's going to be the difference in the game.
Dan, Chance here. You know, you were talking. You talk about the offensive line play being a little overblown. And earlier, me and Trey were talking about that maybe they've only shown about half of the playbook. We're talking about, you know, their struggles with the offensive line. Do you think we're going to see a lot more this week of like some rollouts to protect Garantano more, move him out of the pocket, and actually be able to go downfield, as you were just saying?
Yeah, most definitely. I mean, this Tyson Helton's offense, they've barely even broken into it. I know me and Trey's kind of talked about this after the game or whatnot this past weekend. That's for some people that don't know my background, I worked with Tyson Helton at UAB, and, you know, I've gone through a whole season of practices with Tyson, working with the receivers in that offense, and they barely even touched this full entire playbook. And that's, I go back to those 30 plus yard shots downfield that they're going to take. sure they want to have an emphasis on running the ball through the gun and in I formation, but there's so many formations that Garantano and this offense just has not put out there on the field. So I guess it's kind of good to see some of the production with going with some basic formations and really kind of holding back a little bit for a game like this that's so important to get to a bowl game and really just trying to get a win over a rival in Florida.
When it comes to the defense, Dan, and look, we're not going to come out here and we're not going to bash 18 to 21-year-old kids, but we'll keep it real. There's certain parts of that secondary that seem to get it and some don't. And, you know, Micah Abernathy, position he plays back there, you know, he's had his struggles, and Nigel Boyer has too. But I think Nigel's starting to come along a little bit, slowly but surely. What's the biggest thing Tennessee's got to do when it comes to locking down the secondary on Saturday night? Because they're going to be playing some young guys, and Florida's going to look to take advantage of that. But with the way they've been playing, I think it benefits Tennessee in a way. What is your take on how they try to wrap their heads around who they're going to put back there in the secondary and who runs the two deep?
Well, I'll say this, and sure, the West Virginia game was not good for the defensive backfield, some of the plays they gave up there, and different areas the next two games, but it goes hand-in-hand with different units on defense. There's not a lot of pressure from the outside backers in this defense that really gets Pruitt's scheme to fit all together. Now, we did see a little bit of Daryl Taylor and Johnson Combo finally doing something against UTEP, and that's going to help the defensive backfield. And I think if they can get anything out of those two guys or a DeAndre Johnson, and that's why Pruitt went off on him in the game. He's trying to get these guys to play better at that position to make the defensive backfield better. So it's not all on the defensive backs. You have to apply pressure in this defensive scheme, and I think that's why he continues to try to teach within the game.
Okay, let's break it down when it comes to the linebackers. We've seen that Darren Kirkland got a little shoulder dinger, is kind of what it was called at the press conference today. But the way Tennessee's going to be rotating in and the way Batuli's playing, we threw out the stat earlier, Dan, Florida's, you know, second top rusher is Felipe Franks, and Malik Davis is now out of this game with a broken foot. Who's got to step up and be the leader on this defense, especially at the linebacking position, to get their guys straightened up when it comes Saturday? Because, man, there are times where the defensive core linebackers of the line play well, but there's also times where they just miss assignments. Who's got to step up there and be able to lead the way, as Coach Pruitt said, you know, last week, that, you know, he's looking for leaders?
Right. You want to see a guy like a Cortez Sapps kind of step up. And, of course, Batuli, he had a good game against UTEP. And if you can just get the majority of how he played, I always go back to the Georgia Tech game last year against the run. If you can get Daniel Batuli to play against the run a lot like that, you're going to be in pretty good shape. And there's no doubt that Dan Mullen and this Florida offense, they're going to try to run the ball against Tennessee. Because Dan Mullen knows in this league, no matter the opponent, you got to try to be balanced to try to get a win. So I think Daniel Batuli definitely at that position, but you do want to see guys like Darren Kirkland and Sapp really kind of step up and help him out at that position.
Dan, all eyes on the Florida week. We know how much everyone in East Tennessee, Vol fans, how much we hate Florida rivalry. What is it going to do if they lose this game? It kind of seems like they're not going to be bowl eligible. Is there another game on the schedule that you think the Vols might be able to steal an SEC play to make them bowl eligible? Or if they lose this one, is it all downhill from here?
Well, if Tennessee goes out and loses to Florida, they're going to need a Philip Fulmer top November, run the table in November to get that sixth win and go to a bowl game. But I guess you kind of have to look at South Carolina, and maybe Tennessee can sneak out a win there. Missouri, who knows by that point where Missouri's focus is going to be, because they have Georgia this week, and, of course, they're going to play other tough games after that. So you never know what that mindset is going to be like once Missouri starts losing some games. Kentucky, the same thing. We don't know where Kentucky's going to be at later in the season. And Vanderbilt, the same to end the year. So it's still a lot is out in front of Tennessee, but it just kind of goes back to this weekend. I think either way, right now I can see it a 26-20 top game for Florida or even Tennessee winning this. It's just going to come down to how Tennessee practices. And anytime Jeremy Pruitt talks, he means it. And after the UTEP game, he made it a point saying, look, Wednesday you could tell I was in a bad mood last week. That's because we didn't practice well. If we practice bad, that's how we're going to play, and that's what happened against UTEP. So I think it's real critical to see what happens after his press conference Wednesday, just see what kind of mood he's in to see what kind of lies ahead for the Florida game.
And while this may be fair or foul, is this the first game that's going to define Jeremy Pruitt's tenure here at Tennessee? I feel like a lot of fans, they might jump ship. If not, how do you feel about that?
Well, it's kind of weird or kind of hard to say, define how it goes. But if you get a win against Florida, I mean, it's huge in recruiting. It's just huge for the momentum and the fan base. I mean, we all saw what happened in 2013 with the win against South Carolina.
Yeah.
I mean, that helped Butch Jones for a couple years to cover up some of his bad coaching. Not saying that Pruitt's going to kind of use that for that sake, because I think we all know that he's a better head coach. But I think it's huge, and there's really, if you think about it, it's really on Jarrett Garantano to go out there with the stage set to really get this win. And there's really no excuse for them not to beat Florida in this setting.
When you this game Saturday, man, and the recruits that are coming in, and even I've been told basketball recruits, excuse me, coming in this weekend. Overall, nostalgia setting factor for Tennessee fans leading into this. How would you expect, in a sense, where does Tennessee settle in during this game? I mean, this first big home game for some of these guys in front of their own fans. I don't count the Charlotte game, which was pretty much a road game if you really looked at the crowd. How do you expect these senior leaders and these junior leaders on this team to step up and try to lead these younger guys and being able to control their emotions going in Saturday night?
Right. I mean, honestly, I don't think emotions are going to be that big of a deal, just because a lot of these guys went through the motions of last year. They know how bad it can be, but they also are searching for, and a lot of these guys were here for that 5-0 start with wins against Florida and Georgia.
True.
So they know how you can start a season, and that they've also seen it crash and burn. So I just think, and you see this a lot in practice and just when, you know, after games, doing interviews, whatever, a lot of these guys are just kind of even keeled. They're really level-headed because they know what the goal is to get this thing back on track. So I just don't think emotions are going to keep these players kind of sporadic or whatnot to start out the game. I think they'll be all right there.
Dan, last question for you, buddy. With Pruitt and the way – how would you grade Pruitt in the way he has handled himself through technically first 3.5 weeks of the season when it comes to press conferences, coaching, you know, being able to put himself out there? The coaches show is fantastic television. If you haven't watched it, him going back and forth with Bob Kessling is absolutely hilarious. And you know, whatever you want to call them, Vol calls or whatever that they have as well. How would you grade him so far?
Yeah, I think definitely. Going into the season, I gave him an A, just because he's handled everything pretty nicely. And then, I guess I'll give him about a B+ or an A right now, just because he's done everything pretty well. Maybe offensively, they haven't done much to open it up, but I think he's going to display that this weekend. So I think maybe a B+, A right now.
Dan, appreciate you joining us, buddy. I look forward to seeing you out this week sometime at practice. No, none today, but later on the week, man. And thank you so much.
All right, sounds good.
Great stuff from Dan right there, man. Take a quick break. List is optional right here on Fan Run Radio.
Founded in downtown Knoxville.
It's optional. It's Monday. We're getting settled back in from a weekend full of craziness. Last night was a downer. You know, I was hoping to watch just a tad bit of football. I was breaking down some college football on the iPad and had on Giants and Cowboys, and that turned into a slop fest. That was kind of depressing last night, Chance. I don't know how the way to put it.
It was pretty bad.
Eli Manning just got destroyed.
Well, like, we've got to the point where we have to say Eli's not that good anymore.
Yeah, I kind of agree.
He looks great because of weapons around him, Odell Beckham Jr. And he beat the Patriots twice. But, everybody, Father Time catches everyone. He doesn't look as good as he used to. He's struggled for quite some time now.
To be fair, though, he got hit every single drop back in the first half. Every single one of them.
Offensive line does.
One of his offensive linemen broke his ankle last night.
Like, that, there's no one that could have passed behind that offensive line. Like,
still got irritated horrendous. With that game, though. I went into that fantasy football last night winning my matchup, and then my opponent had Saquon Barkley in a PPR who had 14 receptions, and I lose by two this morning.
That sucks.
Giants – I don't know what they do. The Cowboys aren't that good either.
No, they're working out Landry Jones right now as well.
Yeah.
Which is interesting. Working out Landry Jones for? He's a good backup, I guess, but he can also be a starter.
I think one thing that stood out over the football weekend is just how much the NFL, I know you've heard it time, and it's a passing league, but there's no defense played anymore, really.
No, like the NBA.
They don't let them play defense. It's a penalty.
I'm a big NBA guy. I'll hold judgment to the season. But you looked at that Pittsburgh-Kansas City game through three quarters. Both quarterbacks had accounted for 8 touchdowns already.
It's a penalty if you play defense.
Yeah,
you put your weight down on the quarterback as being an personal foul.
That's the most absurd
thing I've ever seen. And the NFL keeps making these rule changes. So, scoring's going to keep going up.
But can we blame them at a certain point? Because are you really trying to watch games on Sundays with backup quarterbacks?
I'd like to watch a game where a tackle isn't a penalty. I will sacrifice some quarterbacks.
I understand that. But, they kind of got to protect the Bradys, the Rodgers, the
– not at the – sacrificing the integrity of the game.
You must be talking about that Vikings hit.
This
weekend where
have been bad.
Well, I look at it, my biggest takeaway over the weekend, besides the penalties and everything else he's throwing in there, is that I don't think Jameis Winston has his quarterback job when he gets back.
I don't either.
I think it's done.
And very noted that I'm a Florida State fan. No, I actually do think that they have to stay with Fitzmagic. I don't know how. He's played better than Jameis has played in his time there in just a couple games. And when you got a quarterback who's in rhythm with his receivers like that, it'd be a disservice to those receivers. I don't think they'd really – they probably wouldn't say it vocally, but I don't think they'd want Jameis back right now.
No, that's the thing.
I don't think they would.
Yeah, that's why I'm thinking that Jameis might be done in Tampa.
Could be possibly.
Do you very much so. They might trade him. Dealing with this crap?
The off the field stuff is obviously something that's going to hurt him. But when you have the off the field issues, and then Fitzmagic, a veteran who's seen everything, and that's why he is eating up these defenses like he is. He's been in the league over 10 seasons. I know 13 maybe.
And the best part about it is he hasn't taken too many hits because he's been a backup in a lot of places.
Exactly.
So he's still got the arm and still ready to go. Good first hour, Dan Harrelson. Appreciate him joining us. We're breaking in a new format today with Chance right here on my right. Brandon right here on my front, DJ BJ throwing in the tunes, and I swear to God, I just want something from 2014 to 2018. Is that too much?
Your complaints have been duly noted and discarded.
Thank you. This is what he does. Okay, all right, whatever. Get out of this crap. It's Optional, Fox Sports Knoxville.